Looking to get married in the near future? What should you do to get ready for Mr. or Mrs. Right?
I'd say the best thing you can do is to become Mr. or Mrs. Right. We'll talk about how you can do that today on Real Family Talk. Join us. What should you do before accepting a marriage proposal? Well, the truth is, since your premarital relationship sets the tone for marriage, you must engage in habits and patterns that will lead to a healthy and happy marriage.
Indeed. So there are several things then that people should do as they're preparing to accept this marriage proposal.
Yes. And
one of them has to do with not thinking about the marriage proposal. You know, perhaps there needs to be some work that we do on ourselves, thinking about what are the essentials? You know, what is it that, what type of spouse do I want to be
in marriage? And how do you know you're going to be able to be that? Yes.
And what are the attributes that, that I want to have? Do I want to be a person of integrity? Is faith important to me? So maybe I should be strong in my own faith. I want to be financially secure. Maybe I need to think about what I need to do to get myself in a financial position. Those are some of the things that I would think about to begin with.
I also think that it's very important to get to the place where you understand that what you see before marriage is what you'll see after marriage. Invariably, people, especially women, tend to forget that the guy they're dating is going to be the very guy that becomes their husband. I've heard so many women say, well, you know, I'm going to change him, or he's going to change. He's just like that now because he's immature, but once we get married, he'll become a real man. Not. The truth is, what you see before marriage is invariably what you see after marriage.
Yeah, so people should go into marriage with their eyes wide open, is what I hear you saying.
Indeed.
Pay close attention to the red flags. We like to use the analogy of being on the beach, right? And when the red flag goes up, what do? It means that you cannot go in the water.
You don't go in the water.
You don't just ignore the red flag and say, well, you know, I'm a really great swimmer. I think I'm just going to go into that water, even though they've cautioned me not to. And we've seen that a lot of people ignore some of those red flags.
It's not going to happen to me.
It's not going to happen to me.
They make themselves the exception of the rule, and making yourself the exception of the rule is never a good idea when it comes to marriage. Remember, marriage is a lifelong commitment, and it's something you want to last forever. It's going to frame the reality of the rest of your life. It's even going to determine the kind of family environment you have. It's also going to determine how well you do financially or how well you do with your health. It impacts every aspect of your life. So you want to be careful and you want to make sure that you're making decisions with your eyes wide open.
Absolutely. So there are some things that we suggest that people should not do if they want to have a successful marriage.
Yes.
And one of the first things is to not judge or marginalize anyone.
Anyone.
So, in other words, we're not judging people or marginalizing them. And there are some people that we might exclude that might actually be good candidates for marriage. And so that's one of the things that we want to be sure that we don't do.
So get to know people and not exclude them.
Correct.
Another thing you not want to do before you get married is live together first. There's lots of research that let us know that people who live together before marriage tend to divorce at much higher rates when compared to individuals who did not live together before marriage. You know, we're a Christian program, and God is very clear that sexuality or sex is for marriage. It's not for single people. he says, and the man and his wife became one flesh, and they were naked, and they were not ashamed. So this not ashamed condition that Scripture reads, speaks about is in the marital context, not outside of the marriage context. So don't live together before you get married. That becomes problematic, not only from a biblical perspective, from a spiritual point of view, but also from a social scientific point of view.
Right, because what we found in the research is that we're actually accelerating our relationship. Mm-hmm. So the marriage is complicated. It's for our enjoyment and it's fulfilling, but it is difficult and it is challenging. And so what we do when we live together before marriage is we basically turbo boost our relationship.
For no good reason.
For no good reason. Yeah. So we begin to encounter problems that really come after you have been married. And whereas at the beginning of marriage, there should be a honeymoon period. But when we cohabit, what we do is we shortchange ourselves. We short circuit.
We rob ourselves of that special time. For people in the Caribbean, especially in places like Jamaica, where they have a fruit called ackee, they understand very well. Ackee is a wonderful fruit. And if you pick it before it opens and you eat it, you die. Wow, so why would you want to eat it? Well, wait until ackee opens on its own. You pick it, you cook it. They usually cook it like eggs. You eat it. It's terrific. That's how sex is. God gave it to marriage. Before marriage, you eat it, you die. In essence, you do. Something dies. The special place for it that God has developed, that God has ordained, dies. And you never get to experience what God really wants you to experience. What else should we not do? Do not buy big ticket items like a house, a car, or a pet together before you get married. You're not one yet. You have great feelings for each other. You regard each other, but you're not husband and wife yet. So don't buy a house together.
And so basically what the research is saying is that rather than deciding, we're actually sliding into marriage. Yeah. And so sometimes people buy a pet together and they think, well, that's going to make us closer, or it's going to bring a marriage proposal. And so a lot of times some of these decisions are being made in order to generate a marriage proposal, or to say, well, once we have these things, then we'll stay married. That's not a decision. That's actually we're sliding. We're sliding into the relationship. And so, again, we're short-circuiting what really should be something that should be a solid decision. In addition to the fact, we may not end up getting married. And so then what happens? We begin to experience some of the issues of divorce or distress in marriage
before
we're even married.
Yes, and you want to be careful because now you're stuck with something that belongs to both of you, but you're not together. After the break, we'll talk about how you can become Mr. or Mrs. Right. Stay with us. We talk about what not to do. Now we want to talk about what you should do before accepting a proposal for marriage. Too often we make the decision based on physical attraction only to later realize that there were other important factors involved in selecting a future marriage partner. So?
Yes, and we want to be clear that physical attraction is not a bad thing.
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing, but it definitely should not be
the most important thing.
And our society places a extremely high value on physical attraction. In fact, if you look at movies, you'll see that there's always that physical attraction,
chemistry
that people start their relationships out on. And so we've actually been programmed. Our brains have been wired to believe that that is the way we should begin our relationships. And if there isn't physical attraction first, then the relationship is not meant to be. And I've heard so many people say this statement, it drives me crazy. This is my best friend. And this is a platonic,
so-called platonic
heterosexual
relationship.
Yeah. This is my best friend, but
we're just friends.
Yeah. We're just friends. But this is the person I turn to in the middle of the night when something is going wrong. This is the person that I turn to when I'm sad. This is the person I turn to when I need advice for work or anything else. Well, that's kind of
the
person, right? That's a mate. But I can't be with that person because there's no physical chemistry. There's no physical attraction.
The truth is, speaking about this physical thing, is that you can learn to be attracted to someone, especially if they have all these other attributes, if they have all these positives. Do not discount the person because supposedly you're not attracted to them.
And can you also tell us, though, that physical attraction also has this up and down cycle, even if it started out with physical attraction?
Indeed. First of all, I had hair when I met Elaine, and even facial hair. And so if she fell
And I
in love,
loved your beard.
She loved my beard, she said. And you love my afro.
I did, yes.
Well, but I'm happy you weren't in love with my afro because, you know, I mean, I like to say that hair is overrated. So there's no hair now. So what you going to do with that? You're looking for the core. So more than physical attraction, you're looking for indicators that have more to do with real values that will go the distance in marriage. And marriage will need a lot of values that will help you to go the distance. Something else we want to talk about here, and that is things you can do before you accept a marriage proposal. One, get to know yourself. Likes, dislikes, habits, personality, realities, that kind of stuff. Get to know who you really are. You know, what do you really like?
You know? What is it that irritates you? You know, when we work with premarital couples, we really have couples look very closely at themselves. Sometimes people are reluctant to talk about what it is they don't like. And, you know, sometimes we'll get people that will say, oh, nothing irritates me. Yeah. But when we drill down and we ask certain questions, then they realize that there are certain personality traits, there are certain personal habits.
Triggers that do irritate them.
And so it's really important that people get to know what their likes, their dislikes are. What is it about themselves that they're going to be bringing into this relationship?
Yeah. Some good way to do that is to read some good Christian books and get a good understanding of the type of spouse you would like to be, who you envision your spouse to be. And I would suggest that this is not only the time that we need to be reading these good books. I think that parents need to encourage their children when they're teenagers to read these solid books. You know, these books that speak about values, these books that speak about honesty, integrity, these traits of character that they would like to see in a spouse long before you're thinking about a spouse. If you only begin to read these kinds of books when you are, in fact, already engaged in a relationship with someone, it might be a little late. You want to be able to have a fountain of information inside of you so that when you are face-to-face with someone or a number of individuals, you are able to discern who will be the person that will most be compatible in a relationship with you.
And with who you want to be.
Yes.
So a good way to achieve this is to seek counseling. Get individual counseling yourself. And we highly recommend that to people. Go see a counselor. Because even it would be difficult to do this with your parents or someone that you know. It's good to go to someone who can help you see yourself in a different light Because too often, if we go to people that we know, they're just going to say, oh, you know, it's okay.
Yeah,
you're fine. You're awesome. Anybody would love to be married to you.
Yeah. Can you tell us about the Facebook poll that we took? And
Sure. So we asked our viewers if they sought premarital counseling before they got married. And our viewers said that 83.3% of them said that they did, in fact, have premarital counseling. 16.7% said no.
I take it that we had such a high percentage of individuals who said yes, because these are individuals who watch Real Family Talk and perhaps have been taking our counseling.
That's exciting.
Yes. It is exciting.
Yes, and it's good that people are valuing premarital counseling more and more. And we want to be clear that premarital counseling is not just about figuring out where to stand on the day of the wedding.
That's correct.
It's a whole lot more. There should be some inventories that people do to find out more about themselves, find out more about their future mate, find out more about how they get along together.
Not only that. Find out about the families of origin, the family that your future mate is coming from, and so that they can find out the family that you're coming from. How close are you to your family? How distant? What kind of flexibility was in that relationship with your family of origin? You know, find out more stuff. Here's what happens when people are dating. They don't really talk about things that matter. They talk about surface issues. That's why you need a third person, someone who is a trained premarital educator who can help you navigate and unearth, in fact, mine the kind of wealth that is there resident in this relationship. How is the betweenness between you and the other person? We're not only thinking about them or ourselves, we're thinking about the betweenness, because that's what we're going to be dealing with when we're actually married.
And I love the fact that you use the word education.
Yes.
And not counseling, because sometimes people are a little discomforted by the word counseling, and really premarital counseling is really premarital education. You're educating yourself about yourself, your future mate, the betweenness that you might share, and really beginning to learn some things about each other that you may not have found out otherwise.
We like to say, before you accept a proposal for marriage, do pre-engagement counseling or education. Coming up next, what questions you should ask yourself about the person you want to marry. We'll share at least 7 right after this break. Stay with us. So you think that special someone is going to pop the question, and you want to say yes. But before that happens, what do you need to know? What questions should you be asking yourself while you're dating, or once you realize things are getting serious? The reality is, there are many questions they should be asking. I would say there are at least 7 questions. And number 1, what's his or her personality like at different times of day?
That's a really good one, because people are different at different times of the day. And so it's really good to try to figure out, you know, I still think that there'll still be a certain element of, you know, we just love each other so much right now that we're going to maybe fake some of it. but you can test.
And it may not be fake. You know, it may not be
fake. It's okay. But fake is not a good word.
There's a tendency to be...
idealistic?
No, to be more indulgent. Before you get married, you know, you tend to not be as exacting. When you get married, well, you know, it's just old you, and so you can be yourself. But yes, it's a good idea to try to figure out what this person is like at different times of day.
Yeah, so, like see how they behave when they encounter a challenge at work. Mm-hmm. You know, do they lose their temper? Are they accommodating? Do they show grace when someone cuts them off in traffic? How are they when they wake up late and they're running late for an appointment? You know, there's certain things that you can begin to pick up the essence of people's personality. And if it's something that you feel uncomfortable with, that's a red flag and you need to pay attention to it. Another question you should ask is, how does he or she handle stressful situations or change?
That's a big one. You know, people are very sweet. And until you cross them, or something unexpected happens, or they can't find their keys, or they miss a deadline because somebody called and they were running late. So paying attention to these indicators is a good idea before marriage.
Yeah, and we talk about people's flexibility to change. You know, how easy is it for this person to change course? Mm-hmm. You know, if something didn't work out the way that they expected it to, how do they handle that situation?
And the reason this is important is because during marriage, things are going to be constantly changing. And by that, we don't mean that you're going to be constantly changing and not be predictable. However, things do happen. People make mistakes, people forget, and it's good to know how they're going to respond when that reality emerges.
Pay close attention. All right, another question. What are his or her core beliefs and values? Do you both want similar things out of life?
I think people should understand that you can't defy gravity. Values are most important. And how you believe, the more things you have in common. Here's what we know. The Bible said it very clearly. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Who's an unbeliever? Someone who doesn't believe in God the way you believe in God. You may even both believe in God, but you may believe in God differently. If you believe in God differently, you're going to live your lives differently. And the biggest issue in marriage is managing differences. So while you might want to marry someone who's different than you are, the more things you have alike, the easier it's going to be to negotiate your marriage. And this is especially true when it comes to values.
And to religion and how people believe about God. And one of the things that we often share with people is, how do you both see God? How do you observe your religious traditions? So even if you are of the same
faith,
yes, you might observe your faith differently.
Correctly. So that is one thing that's very important. Another one is, does he or she share your beliefs about God? I think we talked about that. Does he share your religious traditions? You just talked about that. Let's go to number five. What's his or her family background? What kind of home did he or she grow up in? What roles did his or her parents play? Even more than that, someone may have been raised in a family with two parents, somebody in a family with a single parent. That difference doesn't have to be that big of a deal, but it can be a big deal. It can be a huge deal. So be sure that you're talking about important issues. And that's why premarital education is so important, because it helps you to talk about these real issues instead of leaving them to chance.
Yeah. And one of the issues with that is that even if both of you grew up in a home where both of you had both parents,
yes,
who had the power?
Who had the power?
Who was the major decision maker?
Who was
maker?
The dominant
so
force?
So if your dad was the one who made all of the decisions, that's your inclination.
That's your framework.
That you go into marriage with. If mom was the primary decision maker, then that's your framework. So if you bring these two people together, one is going to go in saying, well, in my home, my mom was the one who made the major financial decisions or the major decisions about anything. And the other person is saying, well, in my home, my dad was the one who made all these decisions. So you see how that might be a clash. So those are some of the things that you need to talk about before marriage.
Another thing you want to talk about before marriage is, does he or she have marketable skills and meaningful employment to provide the necessary financial resources for the life you envision? Everyone has in his or her mind an idea of how they want to live. But, you know, the Beatles lied to us when they came back in the 60s screaming their song, All You Need Is Love. And, of course, they're talking about romantic love, emotional love. We usually like to say, well, what you need is a J-O-B. Somebody has to be working. You know, I find it interesting when two young people who are still in school and nobody has a full-time job and they're talking about they're getting married and everyone is excited. Wait, slow down, hold up. Who is going to pay the rent? Who's buying the groceries? I don't see people living without food and shelter and transportation. So this is something that we need to be very careful about and pay attention. Has this person ever worked in their lives? Work is important.
Work is important. And knowing whether or not they have the capacity to provide financial resources so that you can live at the level at which you envision. Now, there's something that we want to share with our viewers, and that is that when it comes to this whole topic of getting married and having a marriage proposal, there's no need to feel desperate, okay? People, don't make hasty decisions. Don't let anyone pressure you into getting married. We need to all learn to trust God to supply all of our needs and to make choices in our relationships that will honor and glorify God.
If we're Christians, that's what we want to do. We want to honor, we want to glorify God. God has promised to supply our needs. God is leading us. He is saying that whatever you need, I'm here for you. I will supply. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. All of these promises of God are true for marriage. No need to be desperate if you are the person of God. Trust Him in everything and in every way. If we trust God, He will lead us to the right person. How do we know? Because we have a relationship with God, and God will not lead us in the wrong way. That's all for today's Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll talk more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. Meanwhile, to watch more of Real Family Talk, please visit our website at hopetv.org/realfamilytalk.